It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie Knorr. Thanks for joining us. The Peck School of the Arts has been celebrating 50 years of art making all year, and the concluding event begins tonight. Internationally known and award-winning choreographer and director Stephen Koplowitz is premiering two large-scaled world premiere dances here, both site-specific performance works that are informed and inspired by the architecture and ecology of water. Koplowitz worked closely with UWM dance professor Luc Vanier, composer Tim Russell, more than two dozen dancers, and members of the Bel Canto Chorus to explore the North Point Water Tower and the Cudahy Gardens at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Koplowitz and Vanier joined me in the studio in between rehearsals last week, and Koplowitz said that his childhood had a great influence on the artist he became.
I think the fact that I grew up truly multicultural in the sense that I was born in Washington and then shipped off to France for 6 years and then back to Washington and back to France and then back to Washington and then to Brazil. And then, so I was constantly being aware of the fact that the world was bigger than just my neighborhood as a small child. And also being forced to really, I know this sounds funny, but I think had I not had the childhood I had, I would have been more shy than I am. But I was forced not to be shy because I had to make friends a lot. So I think all that has influenced the fact that my art is really only interested in humanity, really. I say that it's interested in two things. It's interested in the body, in the human form, and it's also interested in how we as humans interact with the world or society. And so all the art I've made as a choreographer and a director has been based on investigating some aspect of human behavior or humanity, I guess. And, you know, site-specific work for me is one that pulls art into the world, into the town square, and really forces the audience and the artists to think about what's out there in the world.
Do we get something different in that kind of art than we would, say, seeing one of your dances in a theater?
Yes. Well, because there are so many other levels of things going on, and the audience has to work. Has to participate more. Experiencing a site-specific work is usually not as passive as going into the theater, sitting in your seat, and letting it wash over you in essence. It's not that your brain stops working when you're in the theater, of course, and you're participating in that way. But usually, you know, you're probably not sitting in a seat. You're probably having to walk, to promenade perhaps for some work, like the work that we're doing at the Milwaukee Art Museum. The audience will have to move three times. It's a work in three sections. And so they'll have to participate in that way. And there's more stimuli going on. You're taking in the environment. Then you have to focus on how the environment is being engaged. You know, there's more sound stimuli going on. You also are adapting to a place that either is brand new to you or is well known to you, but now you're reorienting yourself. And
you're talking as a choreographer in that sense, or
as an audience.
Okay.
I'm talking as an audience. Now, good art in the theater makes you reorient yourself just by sitting in your seat. You know, it makes you completely rethink or recontextualize whatever is life or whatever. Or, you know, that's the power and the beauty of art, that it has the power to transform. You can say that the artistic experience ultimately for the audience when it's working has very similar characteristics no matter what art form you're looking at. I truly believe that. But I think that as an audience member, there is a certain – I guess I'm asking a little bit more of the audience in terms of, you know, their participation.
You know? Well, you talk about it. I think it's in your artist statement. You talk about how art can be inclusive but yet still – not be unfocused, still have the power of your vision as the choreographer, as the artist. And it just sounds like you're gathering people in for that inclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
and kind of requiring that, as you say, that higher level of participation.
Yeah, I have no problem telling people that my work is very accessible. But I don't believe that accessible art needs not to have a certain level of complexity or craft or ask the audience or demand something of the audience in terms of their attention or whatever. But I do pride myself on making work that allows people a way in. And I think that's important on some level.
How does work like this be both collaborative and yet ultimately your expression too?
I liken a lot of the work that I do as a side artist. And I think as an artist, I tend to work this way. I look at the model of film directing, where you are collaborating with a composer and scene designer or costume designer, a cinematographer. But everyone's working towards one vision. That doesn't mean that there isn't dialogue and collaboration. And I mean, with Luke, you know, we're both looking at the site. I might come up with an idea and a concept of a structure, but then it's how do you fill that structure? What decisions are being made? And that's all happening through conversation and dialogue and collaboration. In the case of the Water Tower with Luke, in that sense.
Yeah, and know. Luke, is perfect time to bring you in on this, because what is your role in this entire collaboration?
Well, I've known Steve for years. Met Steve at the University of Illinois. We have a friend in common, worked with Steve before, Sarah Hook. And I just begged Steve to work with him. Everything that he just talked about in terms of navigating sort of a sense of accessibility with a high quality is something that always challenges me. So I was the one to suggest that Steve come. I think Milwaukee is a great place for what Steve is doing. And basically, this was going to be it. That was my collaborative side to this. And then he suggested that I work on the projections for the Water Tower. My interest in technology has always been the same as his interest in site-specific work, where I like to use technology to allow us to connect to work differently, not to sort of flashing up the work, but to more sort of reveal a side of the work, amplify a subtle body connection, use motion capture in a way that sort of sensitizes the space for the dancer. So the technology in general becomes that type of stuff for me. So I'm not a visual artist by trade, but I am a technologist. I'm someone that loves to see how things can be modified and reimagined and transformed through the use of technology.
One of the things I love about using dance in this way is, of course, you're starting with that fundamental thing, the human body moving through space. And then you add all of these other things. And it seems to me that dance lends itself to this kind of exploration in a way that other arts don't.
Luke's being very modest. He is a visual artist. And you can't be a choreographer without being a visual artist, but he more so than others, because he's constantly imagining both how the body is interacting with these visuals that he creates through technology. But anyway, I started my career in music, actually. I have a degree in composition, and in high school I started writing music for dance. And so the idea that music could be married to dance happened very early in my career. But then I realized that if I really wanted to have a dialogue with all the arts, that I'd be far more efficient and exciting to do it as a dancer, as a choreographer. And so I went from music into dance because of that. And specifically contemporary dance, which I think naturally requires a deeper conversation, deeper collaborative conversation with the other arts than other art forms. And then when you look at site work, site art, you know, there's a longer history of site-specific visual art. But there, it's really the matter of repurposing or creating objects that are placed or inspired by a specific location. So invariably, we're talking about something that's inert. Here, because the body is the stuff that the work is being made out of, it automatically is going to comment on how we as people think about, behave around, or even how we compare to certain places by placing bodies specifically in these spaces, and then placing them and giving them specific behaviors. This is something that is living and breathing, and so that has a different kind of power.
And it's ephemeral.
And it's ephemeral. Yes, it is.
In this case, more ephemeral than others. I learned this from Steve. Site-specific as opposed to site-adaptive. So site-specific means that the work lives with that choreography, that space, that area, that, you know, that moment. It's very, very ephemeral.
Yeah, it can't be moved to another place. So what I'm doing for the Water Tower and for the Milwaukee Art Museum, for those spaces, I'm not going to go and do it at some other city or location. All the work I'm making can only exist in those two places.
Why those two places? What was it about those two places that made you say, this is where I want to do this?
You know, I was lucky. I mean, I was able to come to Milwaukee two times, maybe three times, to do research about the city. And the first time was a year ago in June. Luke and the Department of Dance and Simone Ferro said, you know, come to the Milwaukee and let's just see what sites interest you. And I had been working for the past several years on a series of site works that were all inspired by water. And I'd done this in Los Angeles, and then I'd done it in Plymouth, England in 2008 and 9. And then 2012, I did another large-scale site work around water in Houston, Texas. But I came here thinking I'm going to find some interesting sites, whatever inspires me and it also inspires them. And it was almost instantaneous. I mean, you come to Milwaukee and you can't – I mean, water is so ingrained in the history of this city and in the future of this city. And it's being embraced in a way that I think that few other cities are really embracing it, both from a business point of view and from a tourist, you know, and cultural point of view. It just seemed like a natural thing to continue this series. And so we started to really collect many, many sites that dealt with water, which there are many. And then we had to look, obviously, at the budget and the amount of time that we had allocated for this project. And in the end, it came down to these two sites. And I believe, you know, if you were going to start a series of water-related sites in Milwaukee, I think these are two good places to start. You've got two of the major icons of Milwaukee. You have the Water Tower, which speaks to the past, and then you have the Milwaukee Art Museum, which speaks to the present and the future.
Well, Steve and Luke, thank you so much for coming in and talking
you.
With me. Choreographer and director Stephen Koplowitz and UWM dance professor Luke Vanier spoke with us about Summer Dances, the concluding event of the Peck School of the Arts 50th anniversary season. It begins tonight at the North Point Water Tower. There's more information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We'll take one last break and then learn about the third film in a trilogy by director Richard Linklater. Stay tuned. You're listening to Lake Effect on WUWM.